See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
That's how we get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
I'm a super fan of your hair, Matt. Your hair looks awesome.
Thank you.
Are you tanned too? Did you go tanning?
No.
That 100 degree weather?
No, it's just hot. My face is just red because it's hot air. It's 100 degrees in March, for God's sake.
And you look erotically gorgeous.
With us, as always, as well, is someone who can share my pain in the heat, and that is Catherine Horan.
Yes, I'm sweating bullets over here just as much as you.
It's bad. I don't think I've ever seen weather like this in March.
No.
Usually we don't get this weather until like July, August, September for sure. You know, it's usually really hot.
It's a balmy 23 degrees here in Davenport, Iowa. Ugh.
Yeah, same over here in Chicago. And we had a nice little snowing action too. I don't know, Joe, did you get snow?
A little bit, not much. More of a dusting.
I think we're up to 95 or 96 today.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow's going to be hot too. Bad. But you guys are supposed to get like 70 degree on Friday.
I think it's 71 on Saturday.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gotta love the Midwest on that. Jeez.
Yeah. So top of the morning to you in the evening or whatever, because it is St. Patrick's Day as we are recording this.
We're all drunk, right?
Huh?
We're all drunk, right?
We're not drunk. Except on happiness.
We're not that drunk. Yeah.
we're drunk on life, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, what have you watched recently?
Matt, I watched a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to start with the thing I watched most recently. I'm actually currently watching It Follows to the giant screen to my right. Yeah. And I got to say that creepy tall guy just gets me every time walking down the dark hall.
Yeah.
However, prior to that, as a matter of fact, just yesterday, I went to the movie theater and saw Hoppers, the Pixar film.
Oh, any good?
With a bevy of voice actors starring like Bobby Moynihan, John Hamm, Dave Franco, just to name a few. It's okay. It's fine. It's not hitting the tones of like a Toy Story or an Incredibles or Finding Nemo type film, but still, you know, if you got kids in your house and you want to take them out to go see something, you could do a lot worse. I also went to the theater Sunday to go see Undertone, but I think we're all going to talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
I watched Misery for God knows how many hundredths of time. Here was a new one to me that I had always heard about and had never seen before. But I watched 2017's The Killing of the Sacred Deer.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't seen that one.
Oh, my God. Should have assigned this because it does have the word horror in it. I'll let somebody else do it. But this was tremendous. I am like kicking myself that I didn't watch this earlier. Colin Farrell, Nicole Kidman, and Barry Keoghan. Yeah. It'll really mess with your mind. If you liked Begonia or movies like that, you will love this one as well. And last but not least, in the theaters, I think a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went to go see Send Help with Rachel McAdams and the guy's named Dylan O'Brien, who really plays his part of an asshole boss quite well. This is, even as of today, right now, it's still my favorite movie of this year. I'm kicking myself for doubting Sam Raimi. I originally, you know, I saw a Sam Raimi film. I'm like, oh, great. It's going to be fun and bloody and funny and dark. And then I saw Rachel McAdams was in it, and I'm like, oh, there's no way it's going to be bloody if Rachel McAdams is in it, because, you know, I've seen Red Eye. That was like her horror attempt. And no, it was totally wrong. Like, that, gloves are off. This was a great film. Mm-hmm. I had such a fun time. I'm looking very forward to this coming to streaming so I can watch it several more times until I end up buying a hard copy of it somewhere. But if you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend it. Go to the theaters and check it out.
That's 3 for 3 for Send Help.
Yeah. Hmm. So that was it. That's it for me.
Mark, what have you watched?
Well, I watched The Undertone, but I'll wait until we'll wait till Catherine, because I think Catherine saw it first. Or no, Matt, you saw it first, didn't you?
No, I think Catherine did.
I saw it Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I saw it Friday evening. So technically, Catherine, yeah.
Well, we'll wait till Catherine to give the first review, and we'll all chime in. I saw The Bride. Catherine, did you watch The Bride?
I saw The Bride as well, yes.
Okay. So if there was a woman I'm rooting for, it's Maggie Gyllenhaal in her directorial debut. I love Maggie as an actress. And I hated all the hate that she got when she was in The Dark Knight, saying how she wasn't prettier than Katie Holmes. Everybody could go jump off a cliff. Maggie Gyllenhaal's beautiful, in my opinion. Unfortunately, this film is an absolute mess. It was a mess for me. It has great cinematography and wonderful set pieces, but it was bogged down with it trying too much. I didn't know where Maggie wanted this. She wanted this film to be. There was some great action set pieces. There were some great good scenes in it. Christian Bale was, I thought was fine in it. It was just all over the place. I felt like, you know, Maggie needed a leash, like in the movie, Secretary. She needed to be reined back a little bit. I think she had a little bit too much control or something happening in that film. I mean, I know it's like it was an independent film, but there needed to be some rewrites in it, I think. I think she's still talented. She's got some wonderful direction, I thought so. But I just can't recommend it. I would wait till it's streaming, not rental or anything of the sort, just only streaming, you know, if you really want to check it out. I wouldn't pay, you know, money to see in the movie theater. But if you want to support Maggie, please, by all means, go ahead. But Catherine, what did you think of The Bride?
A complete opposite opinion. I really enjoyed it.
That's so weird, because it's like 50-50, right?
I feel like I'm the only person, like I've listened and read a lot of reviews on this movie, and sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that enjoyed it. But yeah, I mean, I understand the criticism. You're not wrong with what you're saying. I mean, there were things about it I didn't quite understand. One of them being the Mary Shelley aspect of it. I thought that was a little odd, and you really didn't need it. But I love the actors. I thought they were fabulous. They looked like they were having the time of their lives. Yeah. I thought it was beautifully shot. The costumes are amazing. It was just a lot of fun. It's Bonnie and Clyde meets Bride of Frankenstein. And I just, you know, I had a lot of fun. You know, it's got some fun references that I thought were fun. I mean, I understand people's criticisms of them too. I don't want to give anything away necessarily. There's one on the nose reference in particular I could see being very eye-rolly. But I thought it was fun. So, you know, yeah, I just went in, I turned my brain off, had a bucket of popcorn, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. I went in with expectations low too, and I was really rooting for it. I just thought it was all over the place. But I know you're not in the minority, because there are people saying that it's like a masterpiece. So it's I mean, it's not, maybe not 50-50, but there's like a 20% out there that is going, this is a really good film, and you're like, people are missing the point. And apparently I missed the point. And hey, I'm super fan Mark, so I probably did. You know, so.
But I understand everything you said. You're not wrong about that either. Like, I can definitely see people's criticisms. I see where they're coming from with it. It is all over the place. There's a lot going on. They try to put a lot into this movie. But I don't know. For me, it worked.
Cool. That's about all I watched. I watched Avatar: Fire and Ash, and I'm over it, completely over it. I was over it with The Way of Water, so I'm really over it now. I don't even know why I watched the third film.
I think we were already on Catherine, right?
We are now.
I was kind of jumping in with Mark on The Bride.
But... Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I watched The Bride. I watched Undertone. I watched Scream 7. Mm. I know Mark already watched it. Yeah, it was the one.
Was it good?
Oh, man. Lots of opinions on this one, too. Ignoring all the controversy surrounding it. If you put all that aside, considering this is the 30th anniversary of Scream, I think in some ways it's exactly what you would want from this movie. You get, you know, Kevin Williamson is back. You get Neve Campbell. You get Courtney Cox, for better or worse. I know she's not Mark's favorite. You know, so you get some of that original, you know, 1996. You get, you know, the callback to Stu and some of the other original characters. If in that aspect, I really enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. It's got some really good moments. The opening scene is awesome. Basically, all the stuff that takes place in the house, I thought was great.
Yeah.
I thought Neve Campbell was fantastic. I really enjoyed her in this. I enjoyed Joel McHale. I thought he was a lot of fun and added it. It was nice to see, without giving anything really away, he's not an asshole in this. And usually he plays assholes, so that was kind of fun to see him in this. But yeah, the ending is disappointing.
It is disappointing. It really is. It's like, son of a bitch.
Definitely the weakest ending of all the movies.
For sure. Yeah. It was, I just wanted them to give us something and they didn't do it. And I was just like, son of a bitch.
But everything else, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
And then kill in the bar, right?
Oh, that was interesting. That almost felt too much.
It's like, why did they go there? It's right? Like, oh my God, they've never done something like that before.
No. So that was, I kind of grimaced as they were doing that. I was like, ooh, no. But no, it does have some great kills in it for sure.
Yeah.
One that takes place in a theater in particular was pretty awesome. and then the only other thing I watched this week, do you guys know the In Search of Darkness documentary series?
No.
They usually do it in segments. So there's one for the 80s that goes from like 1980 to 85, and then there's like 85 to 89. And then they put out one earlier this year that was 90 to 95 or 94, and then one just came out that's 95 to 99. And it's like each installment is like 6 hours, and it just goes in depth into the horror movies that came out during those years.
Oh, wow.
What is that streaming on?
This I paid for. Some of the others, I've seen them streaming like on Amazon Prime. Let me see if I can look real quick. But In Search of Darkness is what it's called. Highly recommend. It's a great way to find those. About you know, either movies you'd forgotten about or maybe ones you'd never even heard of.
Huh. Interesting. Oh, yeah. I do recall seeing this cover. It's on Tubi.
Oh, okay.
At least, you know, I don't know how many seasons, but yeah.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
In Search of Darkness.
Okay.
Yeah. Part one is on Tubi. Part two is on Amazon for rent. And part three is on Shudder, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
But yeah, it's funny. And then there's 90 to 94. So I don't know how it's broken up, because this one says In Search of Darkness 1990 to 1994.
And it came out. They kind of break it up in like 5 year chunks.
I see.
So the one that just came out is 95 to 99. I own that on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever format it was. Because I bought it from them. So that one might not be streaming yet.
I see.
But I'm sure it'll happen in the coming months.
Yeah, that one.
Interesting.
It is. It's on Shudder. 95 to 99 is on Shudder.
Yeah. It's on Shudder? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that came out fast.
Yeah. So what did you think of Undertone?
Of Undertone. All right. I hadn't heard of this movie at all until maybe a month or so ago. And just the premise of it really piqued my interest. I thought, oh, this is going to be fantastic. I'm glad I saw it in the theater for the audio aspect of it. I thought was really cool. I liked it, but I wasn't blown away by it. I thought it was a great idea. It had some really good moments. It had some good scares in it, but I felt like it wasn't anything I hadn't seen before. And the ending left me a little lackluster. I wanted something a little bit more. It just kind of was like, okay, that's it.
Hmm.
All right. But I enjoyed it. And I thought the main actress was great. She basically had to carry the whole movie almost by herself. I mean, I like the audio stuff with it. Like I said, because she's a podcaster, so she's recording. She's got her headphones on. Everything gets really quiet. You really hear everything. She takes it off. My one nitpick is there's a clock. They always use this clock to let you know she's back in the room. I'm like, if your clock is ticking that loud, it's picking up on that microphone. And you're going to have that clock ticking in all of your podcast recording. I gave it 3 cuts. I liked it. Didn't love it.
I loved it. I'll be shocked if it's not like top three for me this year. It would have been maybe number one last year if I'd seen it last year. It scared the shit out of me. But this is the kind of thing that's in my wheelhouse though, of creepy stuff that like gore. I love all that stuff too, but it doesn't scare me. Most thing, torture porn, that kind of stuff. None of that really scares me. I can appreciate it or whatever, but this kind of creepy voices, that you're in a dark room and what's behind me, what's in the shadow, that kind of thing is right in my creeped out, like heebie-jeebies wheelhouse. And I know I've heard a few people say they didn't like the ending, but like Michelle and I at the end were like, holy fuck, that was incredible. I liked that it was a bit ambiguous, but I like ambiguous stuff. I'm not really into I'm not that into tied up with a bow kind of endings that much. I like stuff that's a little ambiguous. You're not sure exactly what happened, and it's just a mess of chaos that last 5-10 minutes. I really enjoyed it. And I thought that the ending, especially the last, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes was really, really strong. I thought the girl was great. Obviously, she would have to be because she's pretty much the only person on screen except for the dead mom. But there were little moments like she's walking, like there was a moment where she's sitting there with her mom and the light turns on in the closet. And when she goes over to the closet, you see behind her, the mom's head is up looking at her. Just stuff that was like great. That. Gives
a couple
me the
things
chills.
Where you see like a shadow in the background. Yeah, it has some really good moments.
And it's just not that often that a movie gives me the chills. In fact, I was just thinking the other day, am I not able to be scared anymore by a movie? And I don't know that I am. I was really worried about that because I used to be, and I've always prided myself in being able to be scared, even though I've watched horror movies my whole life. I still being able to be scared by them. And I was just thinking the other day, I don't know that I've seen a movie recently or in a long time that I really was like kind of freaked out by, and to the point where like later that night, you're kind of creeped out going and doing stuff at night or going outside with taking my dog for a walk. I was walking up the street and our street is very residential. So it's pretty dark on our street at night. And there was like one of those like lights out in front of somebody's house that's on a brick pedestal, but when you're walking up, it just looks like a form standing there, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And that kind of, I love that feeling after a movie where you feel creeped out. I just, I enjoy that so much, and I haven't had that happen in so long. And this did it for me, and it did for Michelle too. We both had pretty much the same reaction. In fact, her first thing she said to me after it was over was, "What the hell did you just do to me?" Like she was, it was, we were right there. And it helped that we had a really good audience too. Like they were all, I feel like everyone in my theater was having the same experience. And
I saw it at a matinee and it was like me and three other people.
And when it was over, the whole audience had like a breath of sigh of relief and then laughter, like everyone laughing, but not the kind of laughter like that was a bunch of shit, but laughter like, oh, fucking A, you know, like it, like you, cool. Like you have when you get off a like a roller coaster or something like that. It's that kind of holy shit. And everyone was basically, that was the attitude from pretty much everyone I saw. I think a couple that was sitting next to us were just kind of silently sitting there, but they were eating through the whole fucking movie anyway. So I don't even think that they allowed themselves to be put into a place where, and I don't mean eating popcorn. I mean, like they had a fucking full meal sitting there and I could smell their whatever beef sandwich it was. And oh, Jesus Christ. Luckily I was able to tune them out.
Time for Matt's rant.
Yeah. Matt's rant. Matt's rant. That's more Shaggy, I think, right? Yeah. So anyway, I had a great time with it. I loved it. And this one was like, it was like energizing for me. This was like this is the kind of thing I love. I loved the creepy, just she'd turn around and look at, and then the camera would just kind of linger on shadows. That kind of stuff I love. I can eat it up. It's right. It's beautiful to me. And you know, there was that video of a woman's face kind of with a weird look and with that supposed to have a tone that it just, I don't know what it was, but there's just little, intangible things that I can't put my finger on, but they really creeped me out. So anyway, that was my take on it. I gave it 4 cuts. I was tempted to do more, but I'm like, okay, you just saw this. All right, give it some time. So I give it 4 cuts. I really loved it.
Okay. Joe, what do you think?
I liked it. I'm more on Catherine's page. I gave it 3 cuts. I didn't love it as much as Matt did, but I did like it. I recognize the whole podcasting thing with the headphones is kind of like the audio version of a, what are those movies that I don't like?
Found footage.
You know, that's like the audio version of found footage films where they have to explain this is why the camera is here. Well, this is why we can hear this in this particular film. I really liked the last 10 minutes of it, but I thought that those little scares weren't enough throughout the rest of the film, or there should have been more of them. For example, Matt, like what you said, when the light came on and the girl turned her head and looked, and then her mother's head sat up from the pillow. I really liked that, but I wanted more of that to keep my interest through the first half of the film. Mm. I know I won't like this as much at home, only because when my son and I went to go see it, there was the hugest rain and thunderstorm going on outside.
Oh.
So we're sitting there in this dark theater watching this, and there's all these spooky noises and the ambiance and the mood and everything's perfect.
Right. Were you in a theater with like really good sound too?
Yes.
Cause we were in like a Dolby theater or whatever. And there were little sounds in the back of the room that were kind of, you know, yeah.
And I was eating all that up, but then all of a sudden we heard this white noise that we later found out is it was such a huge rainstorm outside. We were hearing the rain hitting the roof of the movie theater. Wow. And then in the midst of it, there was like this scary part. And there was this huge clap of thunder that like was loud still in the theater. We found out later it was like 4 miles away and blew up a tree. Whoa. It was like all over the news the next day. So we were watching this just as this whole thing was going on. So that really helped, you know, that added to the level of scare for us, but, it was good. I see why they did. Actually, at first, I left the theater telling my son, this could have been like a COVID film, mm-hmm. you know, single location, one actress all by herself, or I guess two with the mom. I don't know. I kind of would have liked to have seen them develop some of these other characters or introduce these other characters like her boyfriend that she goes to see or the other guy doing the podcast with her. But I don't know. I guess that would have been a totally different movie. So that's not what they were going for. So I got what I got. And but I mean, like I said, it was still good. It was still enjoyable. I liked it more than I thought I was going to. I thought it was going to be just another gimmick movie, but it actually delivered.
No, you liked it more than I thought you were going to like it.
Yeah.
I actually, you brought up a couple things that reminded me of what I was going to say also. One, that it, I mean, it comes off as kind of a COVID movie, but it was really just a very, very low budget film. They shot over like 12 days. All of the girls' scenes were wrapped up in like a week, I think. And so this is an A24 film, but it's not an A24 film. Like, it means A24 just bought the rights because they saw it at a film festival or whatever. It's not, you know, like a typical A24 film where it's produced by them and the whole production is done by them. So it was just this very indie film that they loved and bought. And then the other thing I think that you said that, I could see this. I think probably, Catherine, you might have watched it in the worst possible situation, in the theater with like two other people there. I think this is one that you want to see in a crowd ready for it, or at home, like on a laptop, in bed, in the dark, and let your imagination. Let your imagination run wild a little bit. I think that situation, this would be effective too. But I think seeing it in a either a crowd that isn't that into it or with hardly anybody there would probably not be a great. I don't know. By myself in the theater, I don't know if it's. Yeah, I was. Yeah. Mark. Oh yeah, you haven't talked about it. Mark, what did you think?
I really loved this film. It was super creepy. I love the camera panning back and forth. The sound design was incredible. I also had the experience of the Dolby, so I was hearing things in the back, the little clicks in the, and it was just so mind-boggling. And it reminded me of the film of Blowout in a way, the Brian De Palma film. Just with the sound, and I just kept on thinking, blowout. And what, Matt, what I, Joe, what also, what I loved about this was there was no jump scares at all. There was no cheap jump scares. It was, everything was earned in this film. How the tension just kept rising and rising and rising, and then the camera would just pan, you know, until you know, a dark corner, and you don't know. Shannon watched it with me, and she was start curling up into a ball. And by the end of the film, she was like, "No!" She was like, "This was." She said that she hasn't been this scared since she's watched The Conjuring. This movie really messed her up. And I said, you're going to sleep alone tonight. She's like, absolutely not. I was like, no. Mark. I was like, you're sleeping alone. I was like, I'm not coming over. She's like, if you do not sleep over tonight. And of course, I'm like, well, I have to start doing scaring her, just be around the corners. But she was that scared that I was, you know what, I'm not going to mess with her tonight. Yeah. Not tonight. She absolutely adored this film. She's going, Mark, like, this was crazy. And I'm telling you, I was hanging on to my popcorn bucket, like the ridge, and I was getting white knuckles at the last 20 minutes. And I'm telling you, like, no spoilers, but when she's talking to a woman, the podcaster, and she's talking to a woman and she's trying to help her, and then it's something else evolves. That was just so fun and so creepy. And I'm going, she's so screwed. And it's such a wonderful film. I can't recommend this even more. This is my number one film of the year so far, like hands down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen two this year, but yeah.
I've seen a couple, and I'm telling you, this is number one right now. And I'm like, I'm sure – In a Violent Nature 2, it's probably going to, but that's just my thing.
Slasher. Who knows? Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? But I mean, this film, I highly recommend it. I loved it. Loved it. It was, it you're right, Matt. I've been going through the motions of and like thoughts of like, what's going to scare me? Cause I haven't been really that scared in a long time. I'd like, like I've been disturbed, like Eden Lake disturbed me, and I more like getting pissed,
yeah, and that's a different kind of feeling though.
Yeah. But I mean, but still, I mean, I'm just like kicking at the screen with Eden Lake and all that, but I was grabbing onto this popcorn, just hanging on. And I was going, oh, I can get scared. I can get creeped out. So yeah. No cheap jump scares. Everything was earned. Everything.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I mean, if you can get scared without seeing something actually happening, then I think that's pretty goddamn effective, you know?
Yeah.
I have a question, I guess. I don't know that I totally agree about no cheap jump scares. The phone ringing, her cell phone, just randomly.
Yeah, I think there was. I was trying to think. I felt like there was one, but yeah, I get. Yeah.
One of them was, and I want to know if you guys thought the same thing or if you caught it. I thought of it when I saw it, and then my son said the exact same thing that I was thinking. There's a scene where her phone rings and she's talking to her doctor. And then they cut to the clock. It's 3 a.m. What doctor calls you at home? Second of all, what doctor calls you at home at 3 o'clock in the morning? Or did both of us totally miss a time jump or something?
I don't know.
He was saying, it's probably 3 p.m. But we're like, but all the lights are off. You know, she goes upstairs to her mother's room and it's still dark outside. So
the doctor said at the beginning of the phone call, he's like, oh, I figured you'd be asleep. So I was hoping to get your voice.
Yeah. Leave a voicemail.
Yeah.
Right. So
I have gotten calls from my doctor, but not at 3 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, Undertone's the only thing that, really, I saw this week, or this since the last episode. But
what was the other highly, movie you've seen this year?
What was the other one? I got to look at my lists now. But I think it was. Oh, it was Dust Bunny.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Joe and Catherine. We'll have an episode just specifically just for Matt
Miss the Matt. I'll get caught up.
Yeah. Joe's gonna have like an image of like Matt missing the Matt, like off a pole vault or something like that. Or
oh, that's funny. Laugh it up, fuzzball. Yeah. all right. Well, I guess. That brings us, unless Joe, did you have something else?
No, not unless you want to talk about Matt and Catherine on another podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Matt, you mean Mark and Catherine? Yeah, Mark and Catherine were on. If you guys haven't watched yet or listened yet, you guys should listen to the Cool Beans podcast with Mark and Catherine.
Real Beans.
Or sorry, not Cool Beans. The Real Beans, cool beans. Where they talk about Coffee and Friday the 13th. Joe, what did you think of the episode?
I thought it was largely overmarked. I felt bad for the host who couldn't get a word in edgewise because Mark just wouldn't stop talking about it. And what? Catherine, did you get to be on the show, Catherine? I thought I heard a woman's voice, and then I thought, no, maybe that's just Mark, but I wasn't sure.
Is it a ghost of Catherine?
Yeah.
What happened? What
do you mean? This poor guy's talking, and then Mark's like, and his sound is so much louder than anyone else's on the show. It's just Mark going over. But you know what? I found it kind of heartwarming because I was thinking to myself,
so excited.
It's not that he just hates Joe and me and talks over us. He just does that to everyone. So it kind of warmed my heart a little bit that it's not just us.
Yeah, I didn't take it personally anymore.
What are you talking
having
about?
Having said that, you know,
what a
in
segue.
Those moments before you took a breath, you did say some great things about Friday the 13th, though. You had some good things to say.
Yeah.
A lot of good things to say.
No, it was fun to listen to Mark gush about Friday the 13th.
Oh, jeez.
No, in a good way.
And interrupt the guy. Uh-oh, Joe froze.
He really liked me.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Joe's there.
He really liked me. He's going to ask me on again. I think.
Is he planning a vacation?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know what? There's an episode where I have to go to a doctor's appointment during the middle of the time I'm supposed to be recording.
Yeah.
Mark, you want to come on? Welcome to the Dude, cool
vamp for an hour and a half. I'd appreciate it. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It's real beans.
Oh, man.
Real beans.
What can I say? Why do you keep saying cool beans?
I don't know. I can't get
cool
that in my
beans,
head.
Man. Cool yeah. beans.
Real beans. The Real Beans Coffee Shop.
Real
or
beans.
Coffee.
I don't R-E-E-L. Know. R-E-E-L.
But no, it's a lot of fun. He seemed like a fun guy.
Speaking of podcasts.
What?
He's great. No, he's great.
He seemed like a really good guy. Yeah.
Well, after the show, Catherine and I found out a few fun facts about him, though. He just recently just watched Back to the Future for the first time in his whole entire life. Oh. He has also never seen an Indiana Jones film.
Wow.
Well, I will just put it out there that if he wants to watch Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and mm-hmm. wants Matt and I to guest,
we would be very happy to join him for any Indiana Jones related stuff.
Yeah,
we've seen
those like one. Yeah.
We've pass seen actually along. Most you can do of your, all of your them several times. Yeah.
Bring Paul Markish. This student I have, Marcus, he's living the life this year, let me tell you, because every single time I see him in the same period, often I will be like, Marcus, you didn't drag Paul Markish into this, did you?
I hope you get to take those kids on a field trip to a museum.
That would be Markish belongs in a museum.
Got lost in his own museum.
So this week, we decided to do something a little different after the last episode. We decided to do some horror, erotic horror. So I picked three movies I had never seen before, but had read a little bit about.
Boy, did you.
Yeah, picked three movies.
Those were three movies, weren't they?
They were some interesting films, that's for sure.
Yeah, they were.
But let's start off with one that Joe had recommended, and that is Bone Lake. From what year was this? I think it was just last year, actually. It was one that it says 2024, but I think it came out wide release last year. And I just never, I never watched it. So a couple's vacation at a secluded estate is upended when they're forced to share the mansion with a mysterious couple. A dreamy getaway spirals into a nightmarish maze of sex, lies, and manipulation, triggering a battle for survival. Let's see. There's, I guess, some research on this, but it's not that important. And we spent a lot of time watching or talking about Undertone. So, Joe, since you were the first to recommend this, what did you think of Undertone? Or I'm sorry, Bone Lake. Sorry,
back
sorry.
At that again.
Yeah, back to
so
Undertone.
Boner Lake. My wife actually tried watching it. She was flipping through Netflix. This was last year, late 2025. And she's like, oh, Bone Lake. And she read the synopsis. She's like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And then she watched the opening scene with the hunt, with the crossbow and the couple in the woods. And the minute she saw a guy get his scrotum pierced with an arrow, she's like, nope. And she turned it off. And then it was like a week later is when I watched it for the first time. And I circled back and I told her, you know, if you could just get past the first 5 minutes, you may actually like this film. So she watched it with me, the whole thing, and she agreed she did like it. The opening scene, as I was talking about, was tremendous. It really sets the tone for the chaos that's coming on later. And I loved it. I can't get enough of it. See, Matt, you want to be scared in a movie. I want to be grossed out. And that opening 5 minutes is definitely up my alley. I will say that the actress who plays Sate, first off, I love the names are Sage and Cinnamon of the two girls in this film. But Maddie Hassan, who plays Sage, reminds me 100% of Florence Pugh.
Yes.
I mean, I had to look it up at the beginning to make sure it wasn't her. The other couple, that's Will and Cinnamon, or Sin, they are tremendous because they sell this ruse, I guess, to our two main characters. They sell this ruse extremely well. They don't need to. I mean, there's a time right when the two couples are together standing out front of this Airbnb when they're trying to decide what had happened with them both booking the same place, where it doesn't even seem like they're within earshot of the main couple, and they're still having this debate about what should we do with it or how did it happen. So I love that they played that to the T. I did, again, I'm going to have to start making this list of every time I see chloroform in a film, it's going to get a bad mark. And I'm going to sort of skip ahead towards the ending of this film. It did keep, the first time I saw this film, it kept me guessing. Like I said, they do an excellent job pulling off this ruse. But I want to skip to the end where all of the blood and gore and guts are. I applaud the pacing of this. Normally, you would get to like a final killing thing and it would last like 30 seconds to 2 minutes. This drags out for a good 10, 15 minutes long when things start getting really good and really bloody. I mean, for God's sakes, one of the guys gets his jaw ripped off entirely with an axe, and it was very, very well done. The final kill with the boat, I tip my hat to whoever directed this and whoever made all the special effects. They were just tremendous. I can't say enough good things about this film. I believe this is in my top 10 from last year. But this to me, after seeing the whole thing again, I'm wondering, like, Sam Raimi, if somebody had said Sam Raimi directed this, I would have bought it 100%. So, yeah, I loved it.
Catherine, what do you think of Bone Lake?
Yeah, I also watched this one last year. It was one of the last ones I watched. And I went in with such high expectations because everyone was saying such great things about it. It never made my top 10. I think because it got a little overhyped for me. But this is a genre of horror that I really enjoy. I don't know if it has an official name, but I call it politeness horror, where people, if they would just stand up for themselves or just stop worrying about social niceties or norms and just do what their gut is telling them to, they would get out of these awful situations, but they don't. They've got to be polite and play nice. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just hang in here. It'll be all right. It's just one weekend. No,
would you
get
put
out
Eden
of there.
Lake in that boat too?
Maybe. Like, I always think like Speak No Evil is another good example of that.
Yeah.
Eden Lake, maybe. I'd have to watch that again. It's been a minute. But yeah, I like the idea of this. These people that are in these uncomfortable situations, but you know, trying to be nice and won't just stand up for themselves. It's got some really cool camera shots. I really enjoy, like, when they're breaking into the different rooms and he's pounding on the lock with the meat tenderizer and you see the camera kind of turn around as he's hitting the lock. I thought that was kind of, had some neat shots like that. It's interesting watching it a second time, knowing what the ending is, because you do see they do drop some subtle hints here and there that you wouldn't pick up on the first time you're watching it, but the second time through, you definitely notice those. And again, I just say sex on a bare rug has got to be very uncomfortable. That whole shot looks just the whole time. I'm like, why would you? Anyway.
Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
The Invitation.
Yes. Yes.
That would be a,
that okay. would be one. Yes, for yes. sure.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with Joe. It's got a lot of great blood and guts and gore and some great kills in here. I thought the ending sequence maybe went on a little too long.
Oh.
just a little. I'm like, it's still going? Okay, yeah, all right. But no, it's got some great moments. Lots of great, like you mentioned, the jaw. That's one that always sticks with me. That's a good one.
The chainsaw.
But yeah, it's fun. Yeah, the chainsaw. It's fun. Yeah, I think, yeah. Without spoiling the reveal at the end, I thought, I don't know, it feels a little weird. But.
Hmm. Mark, what do you think of Bone Lake?
Yeah, this is great fun watching. Yes, this is the definition of erotic horror. It has all the elements. It's got sex, violence, dread, blood. And my God, an arrow through the nutsack. Holy shit. Was not expecting that. And I don't think I would want that on my worst enemy. That I actually jolted when I saw that. I was not expecting to see the full shot. And I was like, oh my God. It's like, what am I in for? I love the characters in this film. I thought the manipulation was dead on. But unfortunately, the proposal scene absolutely lost me. There's no way in hell I would have let that stand. I would have called him out on the spot, and Will's excuse wasn't even passable. I was yelling out loud. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? It's like, you're going to let him get away with this. And when they're walking down the outside hallway, and Will's like, what? And like, what do you mean, what? And it's like, I mean, I would have called him out in the room, in the dining room, in the brunch room. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, no, that's my grandmother's ring. It's like, no, you spineless man. And that's that politeness that Catherine's talking about that drives people crazy. And I do think, Joe, that there is the politeness aspect in Eden Lake. Have we reviewed Eden Lake as like an actual movie, or did we just talk mm-hmm. about it?
It was part of a pick.
It was vacation horror.
Yeah.
Vacation horror. God, I love Eden Lake so much. I can't make Shannon watch it. She refuses to watch it. She listened to the podcast and she says, absolutely not. I will not watch that film the way we reacted to it. I can't make her watch it. It pisses me off. But I do think that, in my opinion, I do think there should have been an extra couple arriving. A third couple. I just for a little bit more element of like who's doing this, or you know, maybe put an extra two kills in the middle, because there is such a long pause between, you know, from that great beginning to that fantastic ending. I just think it needed a little bit more scares, a little bit maybe more kills, like who's doing it, because by a certain point, okay, you know who's doing this, and it's just a ramping up. But the manipulation part of all that was so much fun to watch and listen to. I love that. It's a great film. I love the axe through the jaw. I thought that was great. It kind of reminded me of Sleepaway Camp, of that girl at the end with the jaw all the way down. She kind of looked like her. It was just great. It was, and yeah, the chainsaw, and they had a little bit of a Scream vibe with one of the characters is going, I'll give you a count to three. And then it was kind of a Scream vibe. And then he says, no, I'll give you another chance. I was smiling ear to ear. I was having so much fun with that ending. This was absolutely my favorite out of the three by far. I had a blast watching this.
This was my least favorite of the three. It was okay. I give it three cuts. It's entertaining. I'm probably closer to Catherine on this one. I just thought that the people were too dumb and too, they should have renamed this Cliche Lake. I've seen this movie before in better movies. Let's see. Yeah, I think the biggest problem I have with this is that the villains were not very good actors, and I didn't buy the manipulation. I thought that the couple was way too easily manipulated by them. Why? Because they're beautiful. Okay. All right. But there was nothing, I didn't find anything like sexually charged about either of them. I thought they were just a couple douches, and they could have been, you know, maybe the other, like it, Mark, I agree that they could have done with another couple being there or some other element that added a little something different to it. But and they would have, they could have been the other couple that wasn't as much focused on them, you know. But I just I thought that it was the same old thing. It was sort of like, what's that movie where what's his name, where it was all in a parking garage that we just saw recently, where it was all done P2? In a park, P2.
Yeah.
Where, like, what's his, what's the actor's name that was the killer in that? It doesn't matter. But that guy, they had him like doing typical lunatic things, like kind of dancing or whatever. They have them dancing around. Like the girl's got a hole in her cheek and she's dancing down the hallway.
Wes Bentley.
Yeah. they must have learned how to be a villain from Dr. Evil, because they leave the leave them sitting there tied up kind of shittily. Maybe that was a part of the plan. I don't know. I just don't think that anyone would be manipulated by what they were doing, or I didn't think it was believable. But it kind of saved itself a little bit in the third act. I do, you know, there, I did at some point say, are they stretching this out for a big final set piece? And they did. They had the chainsaw thing, you know, or whatever. And there were some pretty good kills at the end, and that whole chainsaw, and what was it, did it, was it in his mouth or something like that? Yeah. It was just like flying,
he
up
fell on it.
He ended and up then, falling on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they were all bloody and everything. So I thought it kind of redeemed itself, and it's definitely entertaining enough. I gave it three, you know, I didn't hate it. But I do think it would have been a lot better with better if the villains were sexier. And I don't mean in looks, I mean just in their vibe, and better actors. I think it would have been a much more effective movie, but it's worth checking out. Moving on to movies that are a little bit more in my type of film, pure weirdness of,
so let's see,
what do I have
that.
Next? Untamed, the Untamed. So this one is, a couple in a troubled marriage locate a meteorite initiating an encounter with a mysterious creature. Their lives are turned upside down by the discovery of the creature, which is a source of both pleasure and destruction. This is directed by Amat Escalante. It was actually, this movie was dedicated to director Andre Zalowski, who directed one of my favorite movies, Possession, which Possession had to do with tentacle sex and that sort of thing too. So I love a good weird tentacle sex movie, and this one had it in spades. So Catherine, start us off. What did you think of The Untamed?
It's so funny. The very first scene of this movie, the very first note I wrote was tentacle sex, very Possession-esque. And then I was like, oh, well, that explains that. I read just one bit of trivia on IMDb, and it mentioned that, yeah, they were inspired by the director of that movie. I was like, all right, that makes sense. I really didn't write very many notes on this one. It was very engrossing. I thought, quite the love triangle is the other note I wrote down with the husband and the brother.
A love square, I guess, because that other woman, but I guess they never really did anything with her.
So I was like, wow, this is quite the drama going on here. And then there was one scene where they show a bunch of different animals all having sex.
Yeah, in that, I thought, like, that was, crater.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very interesting. I was like, oh, how did they film that? But other than that, I really didn't write much. It was a very interesting movie. Yeah, it's a bit of a slow burn. You get the tentacle. You get the tentacle monster right at the very top, and then you don't really see it again for a while. And there's part of me going, like, where is that coming back? When are we getting back to the tentacles?
It definitely could have been tightened up.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was enjoyable. It was very interesting. That's all I got on that one.
Mark, what did you think of The Untamed?
Well, congratulations, Matt. You brought tentacle porn into the archives of CineScare once again, and that's not an easy task to do.
Was there tentacle porn in that Spiral Japanese animated Spiral movie? Did that have?
I don't know that was tentacle.
Yeah, it wasn't tentacle.
Yeah,
it was snails.
They're snails.
Snails. Okay.
Yeah.
Snails with. Yeah, there was like a penis discharging
something, acid, but yeah, it wasn't acid tentacles.
Semen.
Yeah.
Brought that one back. Ooh. Three kills in The Untamed. One is a sister who unhooks one of those defibrillators on her brother. And then two other are killed off screen. Three kills in Basic Instinct. Two with a nice pic graphically done on screen. One kill is a car flying off a bridge, smashing into the pavement. Just wanted to put that out there. Look, this is a good film. Sure, the acting is great. It's beautiful to look at, especially that scene with the almost dead brother lying in that puddle of mud. And it slowly goes to the left, and you see that guy with the dogs. And then it keeps going with the ambulance. It hits that big puddle, and then it's a huge circle of the paramedics going out there. And I thought it was beautifully shot. Look, it's a very well done movie. I just don't think this was horror or erotic. This was everyday normal sex. Having sex from
everyday. What world are you living in, Mark?
Let me finish. I'm talking like everyday sex, it's like, they're, two guys having, sex, and then they're, the husband, waking up and just putting it in, from behind, that's normal everyday sex. People do that, there's nothing erotic about it. Easy Joe, hang on here, buddy, hang on. No, go ahead. What are you going to say?
I just wanted to say, another time.
Sorry.
What? I'm sorry. Say that again.
He said the phrase like seven times in that.
Oh yeah. Say that one more time.
Yeah.
Well, all I know, Mark, is that IMDb, which is what I always look at. Even I often try to pick movies I haven't seen before too. Plus,
sure.
But IMDb, the second thing, first thing it says is Spanish, so that's not really a genre. Second thing, body horror. Fourth thing, erotic thriller. And then like seven down, just straight horror. So, at least
I think we could agree to disagree that
IMDb has those tags on it.
Well, I'm just saying that I don't think, that film The Untamed was really that scary at all. I think it was a beautiful story about a family and tragic story about that family. Angel, the husband, is total menace. Can't stand that guy and everything that came to him he deserved. I hate abusive men and like physically. This is just but look, the tentacle sex scene was interesting to watch at the very end. I actually rewound it. I said, like, what's going on there again? I just wanted to watch it again. It was really actually like an actual beautiful thing to watch, believe it or not. Tentacle sex, who would have known? But it's no Sharon Stone buck riding, So, that's my thought of it. I went light on it. It was a good film. I'm not going to say it wasn't. So I just think there was no horror aspects of it at all in that film. Just my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
Joe, what did you think of The Untamed?
That opening scene, my first note is that Dirk Diggler in this opening scene? And before I could even think long enough to answer it, there's yet another sex. There were three sex scenes in the first 7 minutes of this film. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Way to set the tone. You with these three films, you almost could have just done, well, I guess it wouldn't have been incest for everything. Incest horror, but. Anyway, no. Damn, you're close. That husband, is quite the asshole. I will be Angel. I really appreciated that small scene. I thought it was hilarious where they were at the kid's birthday party and then word got out that some kid peed his pants in the ball pit and like all the kids ran and scattered. I loved that.
Yeah, that was funny.
Because that happens in every birthday party, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think they said someone soiled the balls or something like that. Yeah.
And a little girl was like, ew, ew, ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
I did think this movie was a slow burn, for lack of a better term.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because one of my notes is, my God, can we please see the alien now? Because without the alien, this whole movie is just like a Mexican soap opera.
Right. That's true.
You know, it's just a bunch of crossover love stories. But, and Catherine, for your sake, I did have the exact same note. I wonder how they got all those animals to have sex in that pit. And again, you know, this teaches us a great lesson about gun safety. If you're going to put a pistol in your pocket, you might want to have the safety on, or you may lose a kneecap. So, the movie was good. It was my second favorite of these three, which doesn't hold a lot for the movie we're about to talk about. But, I did appreciate the alien element at the end. I thought it was an interesting twist. Normally aliens come down to Earth and they're going to like wreak havoc or suck out our brains or something like that. So this one did something different, which was, I guess I will say, refreshing. I don't want to say I agree with Mark, but I don't know that I would consider this to be like horror, traditionally horror. It is in the spectrum of just, you know, the fact that there's an alien having sex with people on Earth, I guess, could be kind of horrific. Or it's the short story that one day could become a tremendous porno film, I guess. I don't know if it hasn't been made one already, but it was a decent movie. I was okay with it. The fact that I watched it.
Yeah. I thought it could have been tightened up. You know, I think you guys mostly talked about the things that I wrote notes on, and like Catherine, I didn't write that many because I was kind of engrossed in it. I thought should have been tightened up a little bit, though. I think I felt like there were a few scenes that didn't add much to the narrative. And then there were a lot of shots of like slow moving kind of panning shots or tracking shots through city streets. And it made it seem like evil was coming into the city, but then it was more atmospheric than having a meaning, I suppose. Ultimately, I think it wound up being that this movie's about people using sex as a way to escape their own unhappy lives. And so that's, you know, they were unhappy. Everyone was unhappy for one reason or another. And here was this creature offering them complete pleasure where they weren't able to get it anywhere else. I'm not sure why it turned on the brother when he went there, because it basically killed him right away. Maybe it just liked girls. I don't know. But anyway, that is The Untamed. And then last but not least is The Lure, which is a Polish film from, what year was this? 2015. I think. So this one is a Polish film. It's basically kind of a musical. I'd actually been thinking about doing a horror musical episode, and so this one had kind of been banging around in that category. it was a Criterion selection, and so they have a pretty good description of it. A genre-defying horror musical mashup follows a pair of carnivorous mermaid sisters drawn ashore to explore life on a land in an alternate 1980s Poland. Their tantalizing siren songs and otherworldly auras make them overnight sensations as nightclub singers in the half-glam, half-decrepit world of Poland. The director's imagining. I can't pronounce her name. It is actually based on Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid, and actually is the only retelling of the Little Mermaid that has the original Hans Christian Andersen ending. It's not a happy ending. And so basically it's a coming of age fairy tale with lavish, grimy sets. And it explores themes of emerging female sexuality, exploitation, and the compromises of adulthood with savage energy and originality. This one was my favorite of the bunch. It should probably come as no shock to anyone. And I even wrote, I've hardly taken any notes because I loved this so much. Starts to sag a little in the second act, I will say, though, like the Untamed, I think it could have been tightened up a bit. But I thought that the music was fantastic. I loved the songs. I loved especially the opening sequence in the club with the woman doing that. I'm not sure what song it was. I think it was like a Donna Summers mm-hmm. song, but I don't know if it was actually the song or if it was a song that sounded like that. But I loved that whole sequence where they show her and then it backs up and then it goes to the owner and we kind of follow the owner through his club and all the little weird quirkiness, very Lynchian to me. It felt very much like a David Lynch film almost. I would have loved to have seen him do this. Oh, I put the wrong review here. That was supposed to go someplace else. Mark, I guess you're the only one who hasn't gone first. So what did you think of The Lure?
Yeah, what a weird film. This was the first film out. This is the first film that I watched. And after 6 minutes and 36 seconds into the film, and it was with the Donna Summer song and it's following, you know, the club owner, I was like, oh, shit. Matt's gonna trump me and he's gonna just absolutely desecrate me with this. I was like, I'm gonna love this film, I'm gonna love it to death. The colors were vibrant and I was into the songs, but then the songs continued and continued and continued and continued.
They weren't that long though,
and continued and continued, just most like of most of my reviews. And I felt like the songs got so tedious along the way. When another song came on, I started just to roll my eyes. And then you're right, Matt. If they shaved 35 minutes off of this and got rid of some of these damn songs, it just really tightened up. I would have really enjoyed this film a lot more. But it was just the continuous songs over and over again. The one scene where they have like bottles of vodka with IVs, and I'm like, what's the point of this scene? Like, why is this like continuous thing? When they're in the living room, I was getting tired. I wanted the film to end. And then of course, you know, I loved the wedding scene at the end on the boat. I loved the sea foam, bit and what happened there. It's just it was just too much. It was like it just got so damn tedious, and I just wish it was just tightened up more and less songs. I know it's a musical, but it was like
I could have done like without a couple songs.
It was like 4 or 5 songs. I think they could have just like chucked out the window and just tightened it up, and I really would have enjoyed this a lot more. So this was. I'm gonna have to say this was like my least favorite. Loved the beginning. It really got me pumped up. It just lost me. It lost me in the mixes of the songs. So,
all right, Joe, what did you think of The Lure?
I almost felt like Forrest Gump watching this. I'm like, I'm not a smart man because I couldn't figure this thing out. And by that, I mean, this is a Criterion Collection film. Mm-hmm. So it's held with high regard and praise, or else they wouldn't add it to the Criterion Collection. But I did not like it. I I don't know. I spent too long. It's got a goddamn musical shopping montage in it. And, you know, we used to make fun of that, that little trope in the 80s when, you know, they, oh, let's all go try on clothes and dance to a bunch of music. It was just, so I was like off to a bad start. And I didn't understand why these people were so accepting and not surprised of mermaids in their presence. You know, they freaked out a lot more in Splash when Tom Hanks brought Daryl Hannah in. You know, that's the kind of reaction I expect when someone presents me with a mermaid. Especially like the club owner, it's like, is could care less. Like, oh great, I got a new act, I'm gonna make some money. Now why don't you guys get on stage so I can knee each one of you in the butt as you walk over the threshold to get on the stage.
I know. Which
I thought was odd. Yeah. And then there's things, I'm sure they're just cultural things that I just don't get. But Gold or Golden, whatever her name was, she goes out for a night on the town for the first time, and she runs into this creepy old guy with a ponytail at the bar, and he gets her name wrong, and he says that he loves her, and she says she loves him too, but don't tell anybody. And
that's he's somebody who works. He's one of the guys that works at the club that she was working.
He is, because I've never seen him prior, and I don't remember him being impactful.
Yeah,
he
was one of the henchmen or whatever.
Does he have a name, or is he just like henchman number one?
I don't know.
The mermaids become rock stars awful quick. Okay, the song where they introduce the female lesbian police officer in the dark alley who's interrogating her about eating humans. The song lyrics are just, they're fucking nuts. It's all about ravens pecking nuts or walnuts or something. And then she sings a song to entice the police officer woman. And then, there's a scene where like, there's parts of this lyric where there's like, there's oil on your palms. Let me hold them. Then I will take you to Disneyland. That's just fucking
lost
bizarre.
In translation.
I don't get it. Those are the actual lyrics of the song. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think there's something lost in translation.
The drummer's number in the apartment where they're just dancing and he's playing the air saxophone. There's a song. There's a number you could get rid of because it went on way too long. And then came this conversation. How come we never play volleyball together? We never roller skate or ice skate or ride scooters. We can't go to restaurants or bars. We work and we don't get any money. And also when the girls, when Gold and Silver like are at odds with each other and they start fighting, they're like circling each other like cats and dogs, not fish. Like I got no fish vibe from either one of them, but they were really good at pulling off cat and dog. And so the rest of the band, when they're trying to kill these they were trying to kill the mermaids, right? Am I wrong?
The
rest of the band members, they got tired of them and they tried killing the mermaids.
Oh,
and they rolled them up into carpet or like a rug and they dumped them over the side railing. However, if you were going to get rid of a mermaid, would you put it back in the water or would you maybe bury it in the sand somewhere?
And he only punched them.
Yeah.
The drummer, didn't he die from being punched or something like that?
No, he got like his thumb bitten off. And then I'm like, well, how easy is it to drum?
Didn't somebody die from being punched?
I wish it was me. And then apparently giving mermaids legs is a relatively simple medical procedure. You just chop a human in half and then switch legs.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be surreal. Joe.
I don't know. So she gets new legs for this bass player, and then the bass player dumps her.
Yeah.
And then the bass player marries someone else. Daybreak comes, she turns into sea foam. I'm cool with all that. And then her sister just walks up and kills the bass player. Okay.
So I guess we're spoiling this one.
I think it was spoiled before I watched it, but Yeah, I don't know. Somebody much smarter than me is going to love this film. So
it's not a matter of being smart. It's a matter of what you're into. You know, so it's, I like surreal stuff like this, that very Lynchian. And so it's definitely up my alley.
Yeah, some Lynchian.
It's just the Criterion Collection part that makes me just think, God, I'm just like, I'm questioning doing this podcast. I'm like, I don't appreciate this at all. Like, maybe I'm the wrong person.
It's okay. I don't like everything that's on Criterion Channel. Yeah.
Oh,
I can appreciate everything I've seen. I can appreciate, or I can understand why. And I can totally understand why this would be on there, because it's very,
I started looking up other films in the Criterion Collection, and there are quite a few that I'm just like, what? Really? Wow.
Yeah, Basic Instincts on the Criterion Collection.
Oh, case in point, right there. See? But yeah, I don't know that I would consider this horror, but folk horror. Yeah, I guess that's one of the tags on there.
They're supposed to eat them. And
I know, but they killed people in Basic Instinct too. And I don't know. I am at odds with this film. That is the best review I can get.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me.
I do not consider it to be rewatchable there.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch it again at some point, but let's see. What else do I have here? Is everybody else gone? Oh, no, Catherine. Sorry, Catherine, go ahead.
So this was the first one I watched of the set. And I watched it first because you guys in the chat were like, a musical? And I was like, oh, God, well, let's get this over with. And I was like, not only is it a musical, it's a Polish musical. I was like,
oh, man. Yep.
But, like, Matt, I agree with you. The songs were pretty catchy for the most part. Yeah, we could probably shave a little time off this. But overall, I was pleasantly surprised. It wasn't as painful to sit through as I was expecting. Yeah, I thought the lyrics are stupid, but the tunes were kind of catchy. And
I have to believe that there's something.
Bad translation.
It's bad, either translation or there's certain terms in Poland.
Right.
Certain terms in Poland that don't translate.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought it was a very creative spin on the mermaid, you know, the Little Mermaid story. And I appreciated that. I liked that they stayed true to the ending. I thought that was awesome. I thought it was really cool, at least in that first scene where you first see them transform back into the mermaid where you get the tail. I thought they did a really neat job with that. And I like that they made the tail so big and ugly. And I saw in the trivia they did that on purpose.
Right, yeah.
They're trying to make them a little more eel-esque.
Eel look, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, that's kind of a nice change. Let's see. Oh, there's one scene where they throw the mermaids into a pool. And we had a thought of, is that okay? Does chlorine, is that bad for them?
I don't know.
Or maybe it's a saltwater pool. I don't know.
No, that's true.
And then right at the beginning, one of the first scenes in the movie, I really, one of the gangsters is sick. He's got a cold or something. And the Lee, I think maybe it was the club owner, I don't remember, says, you know, if you're sick, you should stay home. And I was like, gangster's giving good advice.
he's like, you know what? Don't get the rest of us sick. All right.
I was like, yeah, I could get behind that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know that I will rewatch this again anytime soon. But I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to going into it. I thought it was very creative. It was very, you know, something different.
Mm-hmm.
And considering it was a musical, it was, I didn't mind sitting through it.
So you don't like musicals?
It depends on the musical. But as a general rule, it's not usually my go-to thing.
Yeah, I don't care for them usually that much either. But I was thinking about doing a horror musical episode.
So was I.
So was I.
Oh, no.
That's funny. Yeah,
I got them all picked too.
I have them all picked too, and I was going to do it instead of erotic thriller, and Shannon said, no, don't do it. And I was just like, oh, okay, well then I'll do erotic thrillers.
She doesn't like musicals?
No. I did it. It's for a discussion later.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that is this episode of, this was my pick. erotic horror. So the next pick, I believe, is Joe's, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, and I've decided we're going to do erotic horror.
Yes! Let's go. Let's go.
That's funny.
No.
No, we actually, Joe and I did talk about doing that. Like, he would do it, and then I would do it, then he would do it. But
yeah.
Then he was like, Joe came to his senses, thankfully. And said, you know, I don't know if we could do three episodes. Yeah.
Erotic horror part two.
Yeah. No, I've decided to focus on one actor individually, and we're going to celebrate three of his horror films. And that actor, of course, is Willem Dafoe.
Oh,
and the name of this episode, I have two I'm wrestling with. It's either going to be called Willem DeFriend or Willem Dafoe, or other name is Bringin' the Noise, Bringin' Dafoe. So first we're going to watch from 2019, which is on Tubi. We are watching Daybreakers, which has Willem Dafoe, Sam Neill, and Ethan Hawke.
Never seen that.
Next, because I was watching The Killing of a Sacred Deer, we're going to go with a Yorgos Lanthimos film. God, I cannot pronounce that guy's name. Anyway, we're going to watch Kinds of Kindness from 2014. This is on Hulu with Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, and, of course, Willem Dafoe. Looking very forward to watching that for the first time. And then last but not least, we're going to watch Death Note from 2017, where Willem Dafoe does the voice over of a very special character. And that is on Netflix. And Matt, to
Kinds of Kindness is from 2024. I think you said 2014. But it's
sorry. Yes, I have 2024. Okay. Yes, 2024. I was going to do Shadow of the Vampire. I figured you would rather do that some other time.
Me?
Yes.
Because you love Dracula.
Because it's all about the filming of Nosferatu. Oh. But it's produced by Nicolas Cage.
Oh, is it?
Yes. So I figured you'd have... I didn't want to steal that from an upcoming theme of yours, so we'll... But that one actually, it's got John Malkovich, Willem Dafoe, and again, yeah, it's...
Kinds of Kindness was a horror movie.
Yes. I will verify that again.
I've never even seen it.
Yeah, it does. I did not realize that.
It says, I vetted all these. I didn't want to get called like...
No, I know that. I wasn't questioning you. I just didn't realize that that was a horror movie.
Have you seen
movie.
That one?
Uh-uh.
Have you seen that?
No.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of these.
I haven't seen any of these.
The more of this guy's films that I see, the more I want to see all of them. So.
William Dafoe.
And I don't mean William Dafoe. I mean this Yorgos.
Yorgos
Lanthimos. Yeah. Oh. It's just, he's my kind of bizarre. It's not like mermaids or anything. It's just weird. So.
And Joe, it's William Dafoe.
Shut up, Mark.
Okay.
All right.
It's so bringing the noise, bringing Dafoe.
Oh yeah, he directed Begonia. That's right. Yeah, and Poor Things. Poor Things was great. Yeah,
and Poor Things. I gotta admit, my wife's killing me. I haven't seen Poor Things yet.
Oh God, Joe, Poor Things is wonderful.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Fuck, is it good?
And Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah, Killing of a Sacred Deer is phenomenal.
The Lobster.
I guess mm-hmm. I got to watch The Lobster now, too.
Lobster's wonderful, too.
Oh, and Melancholia. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which that was good.
Matt, you haven't seen Killing of the Sacred Deer?
No. That one, I was thinking, there's a couple movies like that I'd never seen before. And that one was one I was thinking of. And also, It Comes at Night is one I still have never seen. Have you guys seen that one?
Yes.
It Comes Tonight?
Yes.
Matt,
this is up your alley. These films are made for you. My God, they're made for you.
Well, maybe Killing of a Sacred Deer, since it does have a horror tag on IMDb, will end up in somebody's
could be
pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, those are your picks. So
those are your marching orders.
www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. And also, if you are an aspiring filmmaker, submit your film to the Seneschere Horror Film Festival. We've got several films that have been submitted so far. I think one just was submitted the other day, and there's hopefully, as we get closer, there'll be more and more. So one of the categories is iPhone horror films or horror films under, what is it, micro horror, and that is horror films under 2 minutes, I think is what I put on there. I can't remember now, but it's real super short ones. So what do you got to lose? Make a little movie and then submit to our film festival. So, well, I guess that's it for this time. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, and don't forget to listen to the... God damn it. What's the you name of it?
Real Beans.
The Real Beans Podcast. God damn it. Real Beans Podcast, and it's R-E-E-L, right? Not... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why it's
like
Real
a movie
Beans.
Reel. Yeah.
Right, movie reel. Real Beans podcast, and listen to Mark interrupt everyone and listen for subtle hints of Catherine.
You guys didn't even bring up me admitting I'm not a host.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was no.
We already knew that.
Yeah. We already knew that.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
I mean, you did say it was a joke and it wasn't, but.
Great. Okay.
All right. So we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night again.
Good night.
Happy St. Paddy's.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You've got a death curse.
There's a shark.
Rattle. Little pig. Let me come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
This is
yeah, there was like a penis discharging acid semen.